This is CICK News.
A growing number of exotic pet owners across British Columbia are urging their communities to speak out against UBCM Resolution NR75, which calls on the provincial government to strengthen regulations around mobile live animal programs and the keeping and breeding of exotic species. Critics say the proposal could make owning reptiles, amphibians, and other non-traditional pets illegal, affecting responsible hobbyists, educators, and conservation programs. They worry it would also shut down mobile educational programs that connect people with animals and promote wildlife conservation. Supporters of exotic pet ownership argue that NR75 could drive responsible care underground, harming both animals and the people who care for them. While this may seem a bit niche for our northern listeners, Smithers Town Council did receive a letter from a concerned citizen, and I was able to connect with Councillor and Deputy Mayor Frank Ray about how councillors vote at UBCM and a little bit about this resolution. I'm also speaking with a passionate exotic animal rescuer who thinks that education and access to exotic animals can change people's perceptions on exotic animals.
Hi, I'm Councillor Frank Ray with the Town of Smithers.
So I reached out to you to actually speak about a resolution that I saw in a letter to council at the UBCM. But before we were recording, you were bringing me up to speed on a little bit about how there wasn't time to actually get to it. And that was almost like, it's almost like in the only 2/3 of the way in for all the resolutions. So can you talk a little bit about how maybe like debate was approached a little bit differently at UBCM?
So it's actually going to change next year. Early on in the resolutions, we had a resolution to change how we're dealing with resolutions going forward, which would mean that we should be able to get through all of the resolutions more quickly and with time for debate. So this year, the one we're talking about was NR75, no recommendation block, which is really where we really do have a debate about whether or not a certain thing is going to become UBCM policy. And so we stopped this year at NR67, and there were 125 NRs. Most years we don't get through, so I'm hoping that this change that we've made this year will give more positive results next year.
What is the change?
What we have an endorsed block, which is already UBCM policy, so we can pull resolutions out of there and debate them. But the change going forward is if it's been endorsed before and it's very similar, it's not going to be admitted for debate. It's just going to be to inform what we're already advocating for at UBCM. And then there are ones that they come up a couple of years in a row and they get voted down. If it's been voted down recently, then it doesn't get admitted again if it comes back up. So the UBCM executive is going to really parse through them, and then only ones that are really matters that we haven't considered before or aren't already things we're advocating for will get debated.
And the one that we're talking about, which is mobile live animal programs, it is a strange thing that I saw a letter written to council about. So what's your take from council about how this is applicable to Smithers, if you feel like it is at all?
When people write letters to council, council doesn't actually decide as a council how to vote on these matters. Every individual that goes as a delegate has their own vote. So it is really up to the conscience of the individual councillors and mayors that go to UBCM to vote on these things.
We were speaking about how NR75 is actually more like two resolutions.
They are two different asks, but because they're related, it's a therefore be it resolved and be it further resolved. And so basically it's asking them to regulate the animal programs and then also to update the controlled alien species regulation to take a little more into effect about how the animals themselves are treated and the risks of disease transmission, et cetera. So I think it's a little bit of looking at maybe updating some acts to be more not just human-centered, I think. I forgot to mention is that the second whereas actually ask them to prohibit the import, keeping, breeding, and transport of all exotic species, which is fairly wide ranging. So I could see where perhaps some people might have concerns with that.
Councillor Ray, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with me about this tonight.
Oh, you're welcome.
Thanks again to Smithers Town Councillor Frank Ray for speaking to me. Next is a man who is passionate about exotic animal education in the Buckley Valley and who has been rescuing abandoned exotic animals for decades in order to bring them to classrooms for educational purposes in Smithers.
Powell Tebow, probably have over 30 years of working with wildlife and reptiles, been involved in wildlife sanctuaries, rehabilitation project, vet clinic, and specifically reptile zoos.
So how did you get into this?
I'm just a boy who used to like to catch animals as a kid. Crayfish, frogs, turtles, snakes, foxes, raccoons. Just a childhood passion that I was stuck with. Didn't ever shake it. And realized people are interested in my passion and I like to share my passion. So I put together a reptile education program back in 2022, and it encompasses all facets of wildlife and exotic husbandry and biodiversity, just a medium I use to speak on wildlife in general. How to conserve it and how to properly maintain it if you're into keeping reptiles specifically.
Mm-hmm.
It ties into SD54's education curriculum with hopes to do more scholastic programs, get into schools more and hold not necessarily seminars, but educational opportunities.
Is that actually in the classroom, or how is that kind of, what are the nuts and bolts of that?
In order for me to give a quality presentation, I base my 1 hour presentation off of the curriculum for the grade, the class grade that I'm presenting to, grade six, grade seven, JKSK, 2, 3, 4, and 5. And it's generally, yeah, in the classroom.
Okay, cool. The reason that I called you was because at the UBCM, there was a resolution was brought up, and it was about stronger provincial regulation for what's called mobile live animal programs. And that includes things like the import, keeping, and breeding of exotic species. And it sounds like when I brought that up to you before we were recording, it sounds like that's something that you're familiar with. Can you bring me up to speed a little bit on what you know about it and how that's affected your experience of doing that in the province, of having live exotic animals in the province?
Absolutely. I'll start off by saying I'm not well versed in the specifics of what's happening now. I do know when I started this project, the thought of becoming an accredited zoological society within the Canadian requirement appealed to me. I did want to get to that stage. And then after further research, I realized in order to do that, it is quite costly and time consuming with no guarantee that you get your accreditation. And as more of this is like a, not my main job, it's more of a hobby. The cost versus profit, and it just didn't weigh out to be sustainable, to be quite honest. So that is why I'm still at the hobbyist level. And then quite honestly, the reptiles are so diverse that the ones that do fall within BC's permit still fascinate my audiences. But overall, yeah, the process is rather deterring to someone like me to fulfill and actually go through with accreditation.
Yeah, what type of animals do you have?
I keep a few species of boa constrictors and a few species of lizards and a couple colubrid snakes as well.
Yeah. You mentioned it, but what is the What's typically the public perception that you get when people find this out about you, or what's typically the reactions that you get?
Oh, everyone's ecstatic. They love it. They get to see animals that generally invoke fear to people, and they see me and even my children handling these things and realizing these are intelligent, beautiful creatures on Earth, and just it brings them to a different part of the world that they may have the opportunity to see one day, or they may never have the opportunity to see one day. But I'm there to allow them, their brain and their imagination, to go to that specific spot in the Amazon jungle where my boa will be hiding in the substrate or absorbing the sun or taking a soak in the river. If there's people that are a little bit hesitant, they do stand back and they do have their questions, and before long they're right in there with me and holding the animal, and their curiosities have been satisfied, and I feel fears get laid to rest as well.
What do you feel is not part of the discussion at a provincial level about a compelling reason to, for people like you, educated, for being able to keep these pets? What's like a compelling reason that you don't feel is being discussed, like at a provincial level?
I'm usually torn between this because I'm pro conservation, but in that being said, there needs to be proper education, not just you can't do this because we say so. There needs to be a reason. There needs to be explanation. There needs to be the trust that there is people quite like myself who aren't doing this like for propagation. I quite often do this for no money whatsoever because I'm passionate about, again, showing people parts of the world they don't really get to see through my reptiles. I'm also passionate about speaking up for the wildlife that's misunderstood. And then in an economy, this is the other side of it, that we need jobs. There's a lot of people that could do this and make some money and help grow our economy. And then the other side of that is there's a lot of people that would abuse it. And in the 80s and the late 70s, when herpetology started to become more popular and people wanted to have bearded dragons and tortoises and iguanas, those early generations were all removed from the wild. And now the laws have been put in place where there's harder import and export laws on countries and continents. So what we have now, we really have to diversify that. But then like puppy mills, it's just mass production and people are just grabbing these things. And that's where I step in and give most of these reptiles that aren't wanted anymore forever homes. And then in doing so, I've created a program. So there's benefits, and I'm also teaching people, just like I'm talking now, like the pros and cons to everything. It's a coin. Everything has two sides to it.
Are most of your animals rescues?
Yeah, they are, actually. There is obviously a couple that I have that I purchased when I was a young teenager, and that were the most staples of my life as a teenager, and really opened my eyes to husbandry and long-term care for reptiles. And then I realize I don't need to go out and search after reptiles all the time when there's thousands upon thousands that need to be rehomed.
Well, Kyle, thank you so much for taking the time to shed light and your perspective on this issue, which, to be honest, I didn't realize had such a history and was so contentious as well. So thanks so much for that.
Of course, it's my pleasure. Absolutely.
Thank you to Kyle Thibault, who runs River Reptiles out of Smithers, and Councillor Frank Ray for speaking to me today about exotic animals in the Bulkley Valley.
CSK News is funded by the Government of Canada, the Community Radio Fund of Canada, and is a participating station in the Local Journalism Initiative. On behalf of my colleague Dan Messick and myself, Pam Hassan, thanks for listening.